Terrific. Appreciate that. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to look today at a couple things real quickly this morning as we're thinking about this wonderful opportunity that we have as Christians to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we're thrilled with all that the Lord has done for us. He thought I was going to use my lapel. That's why I was quiet for a moment. We're thrilled for all that the Lord's done for us, and especially, you know, dying on the cross is vitally important. We wouldn't be born again without that. But at the same time, we wouldn't have eternal life without the resurrection, would we? And that's the hope that we have in Christ. So as you look in your Bibles, in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 23, the scripture there says, as the Apostle Paul, the great theologian, he approaches this as a lawyer. And he's looking at the resurrection, and he's presenting his points. And I went through my Bible here, and I've got all these different points settled. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 1, 2, 3, 4, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and all through that whole passage you can follow along, and it's exciting as you read through and see as the Apostle Paul reasons with the Corinthians as to how important the resurrection is and understanding that's our hope for new life. And if Christ didn't rise, he says, then we of all men are most miserable because we have no hope whatsoever. As you look in verse 23, he says, but each one in his own order, each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Christ the first fruits, and then afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. And sometimes when you read that, you might be sitting there thinking, I'm not quite sure what that's referring to. I'm not quite sure what that's all about. Well, it gives us an opportunity to look at an Old Testament lesson for just a few minutes this morning. And if you'll turn over to your Bibles to Leviticus, how many of you know where that is? Okay. Genesis, Exodus, what? Leviticus. And if you say Leviticus, you can say it a little different, and it helps you understand what it's all about. If you say Leviticus, who do you think it might be written to? Levites. Okay. And the Levites were the what? Priests. Okay, good. The Levites were the priests, and for that reason, the Levites made offerings to the Lord, all the different sacrifices, and so God laid out here for them clearly all the different sacrifices and all that was to take place. The Bible also tells us that God set up feasts for the children of Israel. The purpose of the feasts was so that they would remember every year all the things that God had done for them. Even as we celebrate Easter Sunday, we have a sunrise service. We get up early. We come in to do that. Why do we do that? To remind us and to try to bring to our minds the excitement that was around that first Easter morning when Christ rose from the dead, and to bring that back to our hearts year after year. Even as we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ, we celebrate each of these special occasions because we want to be reminded as to what the Lord has done. The Bible tells us to keep communion because we're reminding ourselves again of the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection till he returns, the Bible says. Well, as we come here, we noticed in that verse it mentioned the fact that Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. First fruits. Well, if you'll read in chapter 23 of Leviticus, starting with verse 9, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf on the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer on that day, when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord, for a sweet aroma, and its drink offering shall be of wine 1/4 of a hin. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. As you read this, you realize what they were to do. Harvest time. Of course, everybody looks forward to harvest time. First, you've got to go through all the work to prepare the field, plant the field, take out the weeds, make sure everything's good. But then finally the harvest comes. You look forward to the harvest. Well, the Jews, in order to be reminded that God was the one who gave them what they have. Each Sunday we say, as we take an offering, we put money in the plate for a couple of reasons. It meets the needs as God did with the temple. It meets the needs here at the church for all the different things that are needing to take place, all the different ministries, all of those things. But at the same time, it reminds you that all that you have comes from God. In the same way, the Jews were to be reminded that when they harvested their crops, that God was the one who supplied the rain, the sun, all the wonderful things that made it possible for those crops to be born. And he was the one who provided their needs. Often, in order to judge them, what did he bring against them and the crops didn't come? Famine. And you'd have famine. You'd have a lack of rain. You'd have scorching heat and nothing would grow. And so on the blessing side of things, God would bring them a special blessing. So what he did, he asked them, before they harvest this huge field, they were to go out in the field and take a sheaf of grain. Now, a sheaf means a full stalk of grain. They didn't bring one little wheat seed or one little barley seed, one little seed of corn, but they were to bring the entire shock or the entire stalk of grain as a representation of the entire field. As they brought it in to the priest, they were to bring this in the day after the Sabbath. What day would that be? Sunday, okay, the day after the Sabbath, or the first day of the week, correct? And then they were to offer a male lamb without blemish as an offering to the Lord for the blessing of the field that God had made possible to be harvested. And then they were to bring a grain offering of 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. And then they were to bring a drink offering, 1/4 of a hen. Now, how many of you have had 1/4 of a hen lately? Yeah, a lot of those things don't mean as much to us, the measurements. My Bible has a place where you can go and look at the measurements, and it tells you how we would translate that into our measurements today. But it's not as much important in that part as it is what is being given to us. So we see a lamb was to be offered, grain was to be offered, a drink offering was to be offered. Now, what did the Apostle Paul say as we jumped back to 1 Corinthians 15? He said, Christ is the what? First fruits. He's the first fruits. So just like they brought that sheaf of grain from the field into the priest, Christ is the first fruits. He's the first sheaf to be harvested, as it were, as you look at it. And so as you look at this passage as what was to be brought, there's a lamb without blemish is to be brought. Who does that represent? Christ. Again, the fine flour, what would that represent? His body, correct? Okay, his body. And the wine, what would that represent? His blood. Okay, as you see that all together, all these Old Testament feasts, it's exciting because they were for a purpose. They were to point people toward the coming sacrifice that would be perfect, that would take away the sins of the world, and that would rise one day and make it possible for us to celebrate this special occasion. Again, Christ is the sheaf. He is the sheaf brought in first from the harvest to represent the entire harvest. You know who the harvest is? Us, all of us here this morning. That's why this song was special this morning that we picked. For that purpose, we shall rise. Christ arose, we shall rise. We have that great hope. And the Apostle Paul continually talks about that being the hope that we have. We shall rise. Why? Because Christ rose. He is brought in. He was brought in on the first day after the Sabbath, even as in this feast. On the first day of the week, he rose. That first fruits was given to God, before God, on the first day of the week. And then again, as we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're reminded in verse 13, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will what? Rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. When we have loved ones who die and we go through difficult times, we constantly have that hope in the back of our minds. What is that hope? The Lord is going to return. He's going to take us to be with him. There may be horrible things going on around you, maybe difficult things that you're going through, but you know it's not going to stay that way. One of these days, the Lord's going to return and take you to be with him. And when you're with him, everything will be absolutely perfect. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death, and those problems and difficulties that you're dealing with will all be gone. We will be with the Lord who is perfect and righteous. We will be perfect and righteous, and we'll be with him forever, all because he arose. All because he arose. And so again, the reaping of the harvest among the Hebrew people was in three stages as you think of this. The joyous occasion began with the first fruits. It continued with the great harvest. So first they brought in the first fruit. Then they went out and brought in the whole harvest. And then you'll remember as you look back in the Bible, there was a story of Ruth. And what was Ruth doing in Boaz's fields? Does anybody remember? Gleaning. Okay, good. Gleaning. And so that was the third stage of the harvest when they would go out and glean. And so we see this represented again in the scripture. The first resurrection we talk about in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. And this is again where the Lord, what we just read about, where all the dead will rise and we who are alive and remain will arise at that point. This is the resurrection of life. And then the Lord's resurrection was the first fruits. The general resurrection of the Lord's people is this one. That's the one where we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. That's the harvest. And then the gleaning are those who will be here and there saved during the tribulation period. And again, you don't want to wait till then. Sometimes people say, well, I'll see if the people really are taken out of the world at the rapture. And if that happens, then I'll believe. The sad part is when people don't believe, it seems like they keep not believing. There's that coldness is there, and that's why it's so important that we trust Christ. So you've got the three pictures there. The Lord is the first fruits. The general harvest is all of us when we go to be with the Lord, those of us who know the Lord, and then those who come later, and it's a few here and a few there according to the scripture, and it's difficult for them as they go through difficult times, but some will turn and believe, those who haven't had an opportunity to trust the Lord before that. Now, the key with all of this as we think of it is the sheaf is the guarantee that the whole resurrection harvest is going to come to pass. It says, afterward, they that are Christ that is coming, as you look in that reference. Afterwards, they are that are Christ that is coming. So in other words, Lord is raised from the dead. He's our sheaf, as it were. He's the first fruits of the resurrection, and then we will all rise, and so we have that hope. We have that joy, and so that's what Paul's referring to. As a great theologian, understanding the Old Testament as he did, he looks back, and he pulls from that great feast that they rejoiced in and that they celebrated, and brings that thought to us. So we stop and think of Christ this morning as the first fruits. He was the one who raised first, and now we have the hope that we also will raise one day. Aren't you glad? Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this beautiful picture in Scripture. And Lord, I pray that we would understand that the Bible is so wonderful in the fact that it's knit together from front to back. Every part of it is special. Every part has meaning. Nothing by accident is in the Word of God. And all the types of the Old Testament point us to the wonderful picture of Christ and our redemption and the hope that we have for the future. I pray that everyone here this morning understands they have the joy of knowing they'll spend eternity with you, or they have the awful judgment waiting that the Scripture speaks up of a judgment away from you, a judgment that sends us for an eternity to hell. And what a horrible thing when, on the other hand, you have provided such a wonderful gift for us. I pray that we would bow our knee and we would bow our head and we would acknowledge that we are sinners, we are lost, and that we need a Savior, and we would trust you as our Savior and find that hope for us so that we would know, too, we can have eternal life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.